Well, good morning. It's so good to see all of you. We want to welcome you on this fifth Sunday in Lent, and we're so glad that you're with us, and we want to welcome you this morning. We want to also welcome those that will be listening online later today, that access it through our website, the church website. And a little bit later on today, we're going to be talking about covering ourselves in prayer. And we're going to look at how Jesus did that, especially going into that final week of his life. And so as we begin our service this morning, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Come, let us use our voices to praise the Lord.
Our mouths shall pour praise.
Let us use our minds to ponder the wondrous deeds of God. With our strength and being, let us worship the Lord of love. Well, let's join together, and we're going to sing two verses. The first and fourth verse, you can look the old rugged cross on page 228, or you can sing on the PowerPoint this morning.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange. Sing the refrain again. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the someday for a crown.
Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin together. God of grace, you have given us minds to know you, hearts to love you, and voices to sing your praise. Fill us with your Spirit that we may celebrate your glory and truly worship you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated this morning, and we're going to sing our Lenten chorus there. You can, oh, went too far. Hold on a second. There we go. You can sing it off the PowerPoint, or you can also sing it out of the bulletin. I put the words in the bulletin because of some of the technical difficulties we had last week. So let's sing that together this morning. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Let's sing the reference. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your... Let's sing that part, Jesus, again. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Yes. He is worthy, isn't he? Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning if they would make their way. Come on. Don't be shy. How are you guys doing this morning? All right, all right. So I have some questions for you. So let's say your mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa, whoever says, we're going to go to the lake. Are you going to dress up in a suit, in a real fancy dress? I don't know. Well, how would you answer that? No. What would you bring or wear if you're going to go to the lake? Okay, you wear shorts and a t-shirt. What else might you have with you? Come on, nobody's ever went to the lake? You haven't. Would you bring your swimming trunks? Maybe. Would you bring a fishing pole? Maybe, yeah. Well, if you have a boat, yeah, I'm sure your dad or mom would bring a boat. Unless you're going to Kaiser Lake, then you can't bring a boat. So. Unless it's a paddle boat. Yeah, a rowboat, yeah. Or a canoe. Because you, well, on Kaiser Lake, you can't use a motor on the lake. They don't allow it. May I ask why? To preserve the lake? I don't know. Not to pollute it.
You know, I don't know. There may be other reasons. But yeah. So now, if I said you were going to go, if your mom and dad said, come on, we're going up to Canada in January, would you wear shorts?
No.
No, no. What would you wear? Yep. Yeah, sweater, heavy coat. You might wear a tassel cap or a toboggan or whatever you want to call it.
Hand warmers.
Hand warmers, yes. Gloves and hand warmers. Yeah, so there's certain things that you wear to do certain things, isn't it? You know. And in our reading today, it's the second time I've done that. Sorry about that. In our reading today, we find something very interesting. Now, since where Jesus lived, it was usually warm and dry. And yes, although they wore something of a like a robe-like thing all the time, because that's just kind of the way their culture was, you know. But one of the things we found that in the course of his earthly life, let's talk about Jesus. It says he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Did you know Jesus cried?
No.
That's interesting, yeah. To God, who was able to deliver him from death. Now, this is coming from the book of Hebrews, and it's talking about coming into that final week where Jesus knew that he was going to die on the cross. And one of the things that he did is he clothed or covered himself in prayer. Anytime a difficult situation that he knew he was going to face, he prayed and said, God, please help me. Please guide me. Please be there with me. Now, can you imagine if you knew, and I know this seems like a strange question for little kids, but can you imagine if you knew you were going to die, would you want to face it with God helping you?
Yeah.
I know I would. Yeah. Yes. And I know a lot of people that do that when they get old and they're getting close to death. They talk to God a lot. And that's what Jesus did. He showed us the way. But he was willing to follow whatever God had for his life. And so sometimes when we have to make important decisions, we can just say, God, help me. Lead me. You know. God, help me take this test tomorrow in school. You know when I was in school, I prayed that? Especially in algebra class when I was in high school. I prayed that often. Yes. Yeah. And I studied, so that wasn't just an excuse for me not to do anything and then pray. But I studied, and I said, God, help me to remember what I studied. Yeah. So, whatever we're going through, we can face it by talking to God. It's how we, prayer is just talking to God. And that's how we trust God through our everyday lives. Okay? So don't ever forget that. Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, and this is what I was really thinking about this week. If Jesus prayed, how much more do we need to? Because I think we would need a whole lot more help, don't you? Okay, you can go on downstairs this morning. Got the class down there, and Miss Rhea will be with you there down there and for your lesson, and usually they got something they're working on, craft or, did it again. Okay, we're going to go to our time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern this morning that you would like to share before we go to prayer this morning. Somebody, yes. Oh, boy.
And there's things she cannot remember, and so...
What did you say her first name was again?
Tori.
Thank you. Okay, got it. Thank you.
That Christian had a lot of skin cancer removed. Help. Right.
Oh boy, I didn't even know about that.
So now she has a colostomy.
Okay.
And then John Taylor has cancer and it was really bad. And then Cindy Maggart was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Okay. So there's lots of them. Cindy and Don and Corey and Doug and Helen. Okay, lots of them there. Some of those long-term ones you may want to fill out a slip for and give to me so we can put them on the regular list and the monthly prayer. Yes, it's this coming week, she told me this morning. Yes, yes. Yeah. Somebody else. I thought I saw some other hands. Yeah, go ahead.
I have the joy. My grandson is returned this morning at 12 o'clock in the morning from Germany. And hopefully this is permanent. He will be out of the army.
Oh, wonderful.
Everett.
Huh? Oh, got you. Yes, now I got it. That's why she was saying on Facebook, Krista was, about it had been months since she's hugged her redheaded son. Yes, yes. go ahead.
Beth Kendall is going to have surgery on Tuesday. Just keep her in your prayers.
Okay, we want to remember Bev as she's going in for surgery. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yeah.
Unspoken.
We know God knows the unspoken needs there. Anyone else this morning? Yeah.
Had her surgery Thursday.
Yes. We want to remember her. She's been on our list there and appreciate that. Anybody else this morning? Yeah.
The 8 families that lost their loved ones in Atlanta.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We definitely want to keep them in our prayers. And anybody else this morning? Yes, I have. I did remember to write him down. We want to keep Donnie Clevenger in our prayers. He went into the emergency room last night. They weren't sure what it was. They were concerned that he was having another stroke. But all the tests said he did not have a stroke. They believe it was like the only thing I can think of is to call it as like a high blood pressure spell. They kept him overnight. Connie was texting me out at Chase's when Chase was having his scrimmage yesterday. So we want to keep Donnie in our prayers. Hopefully they get that regulated. Maybe he'll be able to come home today. We want to, even though they left yesterday to go on down to Florida, they got postponed for like 6 days. They were supposed to leave on Monday. Mary Sue Schaup fell. Sunday afternoon, Monday, so somewhere in there. She's all right. Thankfully, it wasn't anything serious, just bruised up a little bit coming out of that kitchen and that little downstep there. If you've ever been in their house, it's just a little thing. Appreciate your prayers for her this morning. Also appreciate your prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce. We think that it is cancer, but we're waiting for confirmation from the doctors this week. Appreciate your prayers for him, and pray for guidance that they'll know what to do and how to treat this and everything. I appreciate that very much. Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Who was it? Oh, thank you. Yes. Yeah. And thank you for mentioning her, because we want to continue to keep her in prayer. So anybody else? Yeah.
My friend Beth Humphrey has been on the prayer list before. She got good news this week after her last treatment, and her tumor has shrunk from a 4 to a 1.9. And one of the lymph nodes is clear now, so she'll be scheduled for surgery sometime next month, hopefully.
Yeah, and we're very thankful for that. She's been on our monthly list for a couple months, I think, and appreciate your prayers for her. Anybody else then? Lots of needs, like always, and in just a moment here, Linda's going to play, and as she does, just quietly there in your seats, lift up some of these names that may pop into your mind as you begin to pray, and then I will come and close us out in prayer then this morning. God, as we pause today, we are thankful for your presence with us. And we are thankful and grateful that we know that you are the one who we look to in our time of need. You are the one that sent your Son, who gave his life that we might experience eternal life, abundant life. But also, he's the one that taught us to pray and come to the Father in his name. So we do that this morning, Lord. We come to you in the name of Jesus, and we're praying and lifting up so many that are in need of your healing touch and grace and strength today. Lord, we lift up Cindy this morning, who has breast cancer, God, for Dawn this morning with cancer, Lord, for Doug with skin cancer, God, and for Helen, who just had cancer surgery and now is in ICU for recovery. God, we just pray for your healing touch for each of them, your grace and your hand and touch to be upon them. We lift up Lynn, who's going in for surgery this week also. God, we're just praying that you'll guide and direct there as they take out that tumor, Lord. And Lord, we lift up Donnie to you, God, asking for your healing touch for him, Lord. Give wisdom and guidance to the doctors as they try to get his blood pressure where it needs to be. And we just pray for your touch there. Lord, we lift up Mary Sue, God, continuing to ask for your healing strength for her. Lord, we continue to lift up Carla, God, as she's recovering. We're glad that she's with us today in worship. Your continued healing strength for her. We lift up Bruce, God, asking for your healing touch for him and his lung, Lord. And God, we're just praying that you'll give doctors guidance and wisdom. And we continue to lift up Beth, God. We're thankful for that good news, and we rejoice today. And we're praying for your continued healing, and as they go in to do surgery, that they'll be able to get all of that out of there, Lord. Lord, we lift up Bev that's going in for surgery, Lord, that you will be with her and guide. We pray for this unspoken need there. God, we know that you know all of our unspoken needs in our lives. And Lord, maybe those that are listening at home, Lord, maybe there's some needs there. We just lift up them to you today. And God, that you will make a way and do a work there as only you can do. And we agree as they are lifting up names right now in prayer, Lord, that you will touch those. We thank you for Betty, God, and bringing her through those treatments, but we continue to pray for your complete healing touch in her body and her life, Lord. We continue to lift up Bonnie, Lord, as she's going through this treatment with this new medicine, God, that you'll continue to bring healing there that she needs, Lord. And we thank you for that now. Lord, we lift up these families that had died and the loss of those loved ones down there in Georgia. God, we just pray for your grace and your peace and comfort today. And Lord, thank you, God, for this time that we can gather to worship. Lord, as we break the bread of your word, Lord, may you just speak to our hearts and encourage us and lift us up and challenge us to trust in you in all situations, Lord, even when it's hard and difficult. God, that you'll continue to lead us and guide us as we know you will, as we thank you for that. And we continue to ask your blessing for the services coming up, Lord, especially we think about Easter Sunday, Lord, that your blessing will be upon that. And God, there'll be a special day of celebration and together and with our egg hunt with the kids, God. Thank you for all of these things, Lord. Continue to be with our first responders, our medical personnel and staff and the schools and the teachers and all of those that are working on the front lines, God. Continue to watch over them. Continue to give our leaders wisdom and guidance through everything that's going on in our national and state and local levels. And God, we thank you for that, for the wisdom that you give us as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, we want to thank you so much for your giving. And as you probably as you came in or as you go out, the offering plates there are on the back tables and you can drop that in there. Thank you so much. And thank you for those of you that are listening at home that have been mailing in your offerings during this time. And as we give, we know that God is the one that takes care of us and provides for us. And so as we celebrate that today, we're going to sing our doxology and then we'll join together for our prayer of dedication. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. We offer ourselves to you, O God, in these gifts of our lives. May they make a practical difference in this world, bringing light and life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from two passages, two of our lectionary passages this morning. The first one comes from our gospel reading in John chapter 12 this morning, and we're going to be reading verses 20 through 28, and then we will be looking at a passage from Hebrews chapter 5 this morning, verses 4 through 9. So let's begin there with the John 12. Some Greeks had gone to Jerusalem to worship during Passover. Philip from Bethsaida in Galilee was there too. So they went to him and said, Sir, we would like to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew. Then the two of them went to Jesus and told him. Jesus said, The time has come for the Son of Man to be given his glory. I tell you for certain that a grain of wheat that falls on the ground will never be more than one grain unless it dies. If it dies, it will produce lots of wheat. If you lose your life, or if you love your life, you will lose it. If you give it up in this world, you will be given eternal life. If you serve me, you must go with me. My servants will be with me wherever I am. If you serve me, my Father will honor you. Now I am deeply troubled, and I don't know what to say. But I must not ask my Father to keep me from this time of suffering. In fact, I came into the world to suffer. So, Father, bring glory to yourself. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 through 9, another thing to remember is that no one can be a high priest just because he wants to be. He has to be called by God for this work in the same way God chose Aaron. That is why Christ did not elect himself to the honor of being high priest. No, he was chosen by God. God said to him, "My son, today I have honored you." And another time God said to him, "You have been chosen to be a priest forever with the same rank as Melchizedek." Yet while Christ was here on earth, he pleaded with God, praying with tears and agony of soul to the only one who would save him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his strong desire to obey God at all times. And even though Jesus was God's son, he had to learn from experience what it was like to obey when obeying meant suffering. It was after he had proved himself perfect in this experience that Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight this morning. Our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, a Catholic priest was giving a children's sermon on vestments. Now, I don't know if you know what vestments are, but they're like the outfit and the clothing that the priests sometimes wear. And they were talking about various things. And the priest, as he was talking with the children that morning, said, "Why do you think I wear this collar?" And one of the little boys piped up and says, "Because it kills ticks and fleas for up to 30 days. I always like to share something funny as I begin there. I want to talk to you about from here to there, from here to there. So as I was talking with the kids earlier, you know, if you're going to northern Canada, you're going to want to dress warm, don't you? If you're going to the pool, I would hope, unless you're just going to watch your kids or grandkids, I would hope you wouldn't forget your swimming suit. Or the beach. If you're going to the beach and you're going to be spending the day on the beach, maybe like I do sometimes, as I've gotten older, I like to sit under the umbrella most of the day and be a bum and do nothing. But if you're going to go to the beach and mess around in the water, you want to remember sunscreen. It's important to know where we are going so we are prepared. Jesus knew where he was going. He was going to face the powers that be and eventually his death. But to get from here to there, he needed God's power and strength to do that. So he wrapped himself, if we could say it like that, in prayer. So I want to talk to you just for a little bit this morning about prayer as key in our lives from getting us from here to there. Now, in our lives, that could be whatever that involves, getting us from here to there. And prayer as a key to facing the future with strength and confidence. So let's look at it here. And we're going to begin, first of all, by looking at Jesus praying. Jesus praying. He's our example, as I was sharing with the kids a little bit ago. And one of the things that I see, not only in this passage, which only comes in the John passage, in the very last verse or two of our reading today, but that's what I want to focus on and how important that was. And Hebrews picks up on that and kind of expounds that a little bit there, is this. Jesus faced important situations by praying ahead of time. One of the things you see in the Gospels, especially in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is Jesus always praying. And he's always praying when something important is coming up, where he's got to make a decision, or he's got to make sure he stays on the right path, or where God wants him to be in that place. And I was thinking about this the other day. Jesus accesses prayer. Now think about this. Jesus accesses prayer, talks to God, talks to the Father, like we access our cell phones. How often are you on your cell phone? Have you ever noticed yourself when somebody, you got your cell phone in your pocket, or maybe it's in your purse, or maybe wherever it's at, and you see somebody else pull out their cell phone and look at it, and don't you, without even thinking, pull out your cell phone and look at it too for a second? I've done that before. It's just something that's become a part of our lives. It's always there. And this is the way prayer was for Jesus. It was just a part of his life. He was always talking to the Father about things. And he was always praying about things that was going on. You know, and these are only a couple examples, but the Gospels tell us Jesus prayed and spent some time alone before he chose his disciples. We're also told that Jesus prayed and asked God to be glorified before he spoke those famous words that we're familiar with, "Lazarus, come forth," when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And now he's facing his impending death, and he knows it, and he's praying. Hebrews tells us, as we read, Jesus faced the future, and I really like the words here, with prayers, normal conversation with God, with pleadings. Have you ever been in a situation where you were pleading with God? Where it was a serious situation, and maybe it involved somebody in your family, and it was more desperate than you'd ever been? Pleadings. Have you ever been where it goes on to say, with cries and tears? Have you ever been in that situation? I've been in all of those situations before, where I've come before God. And it reminds us that Jesus did the same thing, because through that he found strength to face or make the decisions that he needed in his life. And the same is true with us. In fact, Jesus, building on that, faced desperate situations by covering himself in prayer. Jesus was more focused in prayer than ever in the story that we're familiar with, that we refer to as the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that story where Jesus brought Peter, James, and John with him, and they go into that, and Jesus says, "Can you stay awake with me for a while?" And he goes, and Jesus prays, and we're told that Jesus prayed so hard it was almost as if he was sweating blood, because this was on the eve of his crucifixion. And Hebrews says he offered up, and I found this fascinating, the way the writer says this. He offered up prayers to the one who was able to save him from death. And I thought about that. Why would the author say that? Because Jesus could have asked, "Father, save me from this death." And he wanted to. You read the gospel stories carefully. But he said, "Lord, not my will, though. Your will be done." And that's in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us about that part of the story. The future was shadowed by the cross. And he knew he would give his life for the world, so he covers himself in prayer, bathes himself, so to speak. And because he knew the only way he could get from here, suffering and death, to there, the other side of death and out, was by entrusting himself to God in prayer. How many times have we had to entrust our situation to to God and trust ourselves to God to get us through a situation that we had no clue how we were going to be able to get through it. Emotionally, physically, whatever it may have been. And there are times when life throws things at us that's hard and difficult. I don't know why this popped in my head, but I'm going to share this with you. I think I've said something about this before. But when my sister, who you know, Terry, who died when she was 34 years old of viral meningitis, a fluke thing, thought she had the flu, and she started falling asleep, and she kept falling asleep, and the next thing you know, they couldn't wake her up, and they took her in the emergency room, and by the time they had got her to the hospital, it was too late, 1989. And when they had the funeral, they asked if I'd be willing to sing at her funeral. Now, I didn't know how I was going to get through that, but God gave me the strength to get through it, and God gets us through things that are not always easy. And that leads me into our part in all of this. And my second thing, and some of you will be familiar with this expression, praying through. How many of you have ever heard that expression before? Lift your hand up a little bit. I see a few of you out there. I heard that a lot when I was growing up some, where they talked about how the only way you were going to get through this situation is you had to pray through it. You had to pray through it and stand and hold on. They used to talk about the horns of the altar where you would grab a hold of and plead with God and say, God, please help me get through this. And one of the things that we see in this story, which is interesting, drawing especially from Hebrews, is that prayer is the bridge that Jesus builds in order to face the future. And the same is true with us. Sometimes in our situations, the only way we can get through is to pray, and that prayer and that praying becomes a bridge so that we can face the future and get through the future onto the other side. The Latin, remember we read there in Hebrews about Jesus being our great high priest, and that there's several chapters that just elaborate on that, and it was just highlighted a little bit in our reading today. But the Latin word for priest is pontificans. That's sometimes you hear the Pope referred to with that Latin language when they refer to the Pope. You know what that word means? Bridge builder. Bridge builder. And Jesus is described in Hebrews as the great high priest or the great bridge builder. We're not called to divide, we're called to build bridges. And as high priest, he is the bridge between heaven and earth. We talked a little bit about that when we talked about the temple before. He not only shows us the way, but he also gives us access to the Father in prayer, because and Jesus teaches his disciples, pray to the Father in my name or through my name. Because that's because he becomes the bridge between us and heaven, between us and God. And out of that then, prayer syncs our wills with God's will. Our will with God's will. I love the way John kind of portrays Jesus saying that. It's almost like Jesus is, when he's talking about it, he says, I just don't know how to tell you about this, about what I'm about to face. And I'm not sure how I'm going to get through. And as we know from the other Gospels, Jesus prays three times in the garden. Father, let this cup pass from me. Yet Jesus knows that to have that perfect union of wills, he must bring his will in line with the Father's. Not what I want, but what God wants. Jesus puts his life in the Father's hands and will through prayer. To give his life and death any meaning, Jesus knew his life had to be in sync with what God wanted for him. And you know what? I think the same is true for our lives. That when we make that connection, that sync through prayer in our lives. That's what really gives us fulfillment and joy and happiness and satisfaction in our lives when we're doing what God leads us and calls us to do. A child who had just learned the alphabet overseas kept repeating time after time the letters of the alphabet like a prayer in her language. Well, the missionary who had been working with them asked her what she was saying, and the little girl answered, "I'm praying." And the missionary said, "Well, why do you keep repeating the alphabet?" And here's this little girl's response. "Well, I felt like I should pray, and because I did not know how to pray, I repeated the letters of the alphabet, knowing that God would fit the letters together to make the words come out right to him." Let me tell you, we may not know what the future holds. We may not know how we're going to get through things at times, but we know who holds the future. We may not know how to pray in those situations, but like Jesus through prayer and the little girl, we can give our lives into God's hands. We can give our prayers into God's hands and pray through. There's no garden, listen to this, there's no garden so far removed that God cannot find us. There is no bedroom so dark or tear-stained that God cannot comfort us. There is no burden so crushing that our Heavenly Father cannot lift. And there is no future so impossible God cannot lead us through. Let's cover ourselves in prayer. Let's cover one another in prayer. It's the best way to get from here to there. Amen and amen. Well, let's get ready to close out with our final chorus, or well, hymn, Amazing Grace. We're going to sing three verses of it. If you would stand with me and join with me, I'll pull it up there, or you can follow along and sing on page 429 this morning. Amazing Grace. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toil, and snares, I have Let's join together for our benediction. Our lives are gifts of grace. Now go forth with joy, for God looks with favor and grace upon us. Amen. Amen. Amen.